This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wang Shanning. It is 6 o'clock, Friday the 2nd of August, and another weekend is once more upon us. What are you guys planning to do over the weekend?
Not going to be a big weekend for me. It's going to be just, catch up with some reading, maybe just relax as much as possible. How about you guys?
I've got a mini cuti Malaysia holiday.
Nice. Oh, really? Oh, yes. You're going to
Cherati, which I haven't been in a long time, so I'm looking forward to it with my entire family.
So it's going to be a beach weekend for you.
Well, as you all know, I'm quite pale, so the sun and I don't really get along very well.
Yeah, we could see through you.
Yeah, so practically. I will be under the biggest umbrella you can find.
Oh, that's not going to help.
SPF 50 all over me. So yeah, the sun and I know.
So then what is the appeal of the beach? Because I always assumed that, you know, you want to go to the beach, I don't know, to get a tan, maybe to hang out on the sand and the surf.
I think it's just being with my family. That's the main reason why I'm on the beach. The sun and I and the surf, no, not really.
I hope the weather would be good for you. I hope the weather is not too hot and sunny.
Yeah, and there's no smog, right? Because there's a bit of smog all over KL now.
There's fire in Indonesia. Mm-hmm.
People
have started
talking about haze again.
Let's hope this time
August, haze, isn't it? Yeah. It's an August thing.
Mm-hmm. Let's hope it's not so bad this year.
Let's hope.
And how about you, Lynn?
So, Shanning is going to laugh at me because I'm going to be going to a jewelry fair this weekend.
Oh!
I'm not going on my own. I'm going with my mother. So, it is a jewelry fair in KL Convention Centre. So, that's going to be quite interesting, I think.
There won't be any surprises on Monday.
I don't think not the surprises that you're talking
Why
about.
Why would I laugh at you? I think it's a perfectly good use of your time, spending, you know, some time with your mother looking at all these bling bling. Why not?
Mm. Yeah, no. Who is it that that bumped into me in KLCC that time and yelled at me, "Just stop buying jewellery, Lynn Mark."
Is this your first time?
At a jewellery convention? Yeah. Yes, it is. So that's going to be quite
fun. Or even jewellery store.
In a jewellery? No, and it's definitely not my first time in a jewellery store.
She's a lady, come on.
What? I mean, there are ladies who are not into jewellery. I mean, there are those out there.
Yeah, but, you know,
I mean, any fancy jewellery.
I've got, like, 6 piercings in my ears, so, you know, I got some of those in a jewellery shop.
How can I not notice that? Exactly.
All right, but in the meantime, we've got lots of fascinating discussions lined up for you this Friday morning. What are we going to be talking about first?
Yep, so question for parents and also on the issue of education. Do you plan for the finances of your children's education? How essential is it to pay for it? And would this eventually spoil your kids? Independent consumer research report published back in 2017, most Malaysian parents, 93% of them, contribute towards their children's university education. So that's interesting to talk about.
Yes, and I'll be talking about small little telecommute booths which are just popping all over Japan. And this is not surprising, right? Coming from the land of capsule hotels and tiny, tiny apartments, not more than 100 square feet. So we'll have a discussion about this later.
All right, and if you want to weigh in on that conversation, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, we're going to be talking about the second-hand market, first from China and perhaps also in Malaysia. But we've got a couple of messages and a song. So here's Don't Stop by Fleetwood Mac, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Positivity by Suede, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharit and Shanning. Now in China, the second-hand market is booming. And this is most obvious in their car market. They saw 7 million second-hand cars sold in the first half of this year. But it's also starting to include things like books, devices, furniture, clothes, luxury goods as well. And it made me think, because over the past few years, the second-hand market has been growing quite rapidly in Malaysia as well. So the popularity of thrifting or bundling, for example, particularly amongst young people. And in China, this is a very similar trend, right? Most secondhand apps report that 85% of their users are under the age of 35. And I'm just curious, you know, let's have a quick poll of the studio. Would you buy secondhand goods?
Absolutely.
Shanning?
Absolutely.
It depends.
Okay, what would it depend on?
I would confess I wouldn't buy clothes, but I would buy like white goods, so like a fridge, a TV, a car. I would buy secondhand.
Oh yeah, so the car is the most accepted secondhand good that we buy, right? Because everyone buys secondhand cars.
That's because I think it's good value. You know, I'm all about the value, right? So a secondhand car, the first owner would have taken the most hit in terms of depreciation. So it makes the most sense. But for clothes, I have to say I'm a little bit.
So it's hygiene, huh?
It's also the, I don't know, it's just a personal icky thing. I know it doesn't make any sense at all, and it's good for the environment, and it's part of that circular economy argument, but I just can't do it.
It's the
now,
stigma.
If you gave me a t-shirt, I would wear it, Lynn. No problem. Okay. If I knew who it came from.
I'm glad she thinks that I'm clean enough that she'll wear my clothes.
No, but I think it's not unreasonable. I mean, especially when hygiene, especially, you know, that's the issue, deodorant and the stains and everything.
I mean,
and
you can
be very graphic
it.
Here. But.
You can wash it for sure, but it's just my mental thing, you know. I can't get over that roadblock in my head.
Yeah, it's true. I think I have a similar sort of roadblock. So what I do is if I buy a secondhand clothes, I'll usually remake them. So I reconstruct them. And for some reason, that to me makes it okay to wear. Mm. So it's a psychological thing.
Yeah.
But this is a stigma that particularly is less prevalent now amongst younger generations, because this topic is from an article in the Financial Times. And the very first line is to do interviews a person who says that their mother would never understand their love for secondhand goods because their mother would never buy them, and that is something that I've also heard from my parents' generation, my grandparents' generation. They're like, oh no, why would you want to buy secondhand? Just buy new, because the perception is that new is better, and obviously
it smells good as well. that's that fresh new clothes smell that you get, right?
No, but that's also nice when stuff has been worn, right? It has that worn feel, especially if you're talking like jeans, right? Jeans, there's tremendous value in secondhand vintage jeans nowadays. Or even Hawaiian shirts. There's big money to be made.
Hawaiian shirts? Why Hawaiian shirts particularly?
There's retro Hawaiian shirts from the 1950s. There's huge market in that now.
Man.
So as usual, I'm all about the money, right? So there is some money to be made in the secondhand market. But I'm glad that younger people, I won't buy secondhand clothes unless I know the person. But it's a good thing for the environment, right? We're more mindful of how we consume.
Mm. Yeah.
And why should we throw away something? I mean, if you don't want it, somebody else you might want it.
Yes. So one of our colleagues, Sumitra, who is on the Daily Digest show, she's with The Bigger Picture. She makes a good point that, you know, we talk a lot about sustainability, but when you go out and buy, organic, sustainable, well-made things versus wearing the stuff that's already in your cupboard that maybe isn't, that may be made of polyester or cotton, that's also, it's not necessarily a sustainable practice as well, because the sustainability is also making use of what you have. But I guess the other question is that how is this going to change business practices going forward? Because particularly within the luxury market, right, when you see this growing demand for secondhand luxury goods in a country like China, particularly because China has how many billion people, how is this going to affect their sales coming out of the shops?
They have to review their business model, because I know that a lot of those are clothes companies, well, after it goes off season, sometimes they dispose their clothes as well, and that itself is it's a waste. And for me, if they could review how those outdated goods could be sold, you know, at much cheaper price, it can still be attractive in some ways.
All right, well, let us know what you think about this. Would you own secondhand goods? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got a couple of messages coming up for you, and then we'll be taking a look at commuting offices over in Japan. Be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharitz and Shaoning. That was Someday by Sugar Ray. And someday, if you ever want to work in a phone booth at a train station, well, now's your chance. All you have to do is go to Tokyo, because Tokyo is ramping up to the Tokyo 2020 Summer Olympics, right? And one of the biggest challenges for them is going to be how do they manage the thousands of people that they're expected to flood into the city. So the estimate is 920,000 people are expected to come into Tokyo for the duration of the Olympics. Mm. And Tokyo is a city of 14 million people. So how do they manage things like commuting? And Tokyo is much like KL. It is the capital of Japan. It is the financial hub, and you do see at rush hours the trains are very, very crowded, and So the Japanese government is now encouraging their regular workers, everyday workers, to work flexibly, work from home. And in order to do that, some train stations are testing telecommunication capsules. So essentially, they are boxes, the size and shape of photo booths, right? And they're equipped with things like video conferencing, internet, they have phones. Yeah,
so there's a seat and a desk also, right?
Of course, yes, there is a seat and a desk, so you don't have to do all of this standing up. I just kind of looked at it and wondered, would you use this, first of all? Because I feel like I have a visceral, slightly horrified reaction to these telecommunication booths, because I'm thinking, oh my God, does that mean I have to start working even earlier now, you know, even before I start commuting to work?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm surprised that I hope that this is not a case where they're just, you know, coming out with this business just to accommodate the Olympics that's happening, because that happens within a duration of, I think, about 2 weeks. Or just slightly over that, and then after that, it's a case of what's going to happen next, right? Because all these booths, if it goes on a large scale, it's going to take up a lot of spaces. And what I mean is, this is going to bring out the questions of what it's going to do to the aesthetics of, for example, public spaces like their train station and so forth. Whether it's going to be, unless it changes the lifestyle of Japanese in some ways,
which may not necessarily be a bad thing, considering Japan is known for quite extreme work practices as well.
Well, when you think about it, it's just the argument is that, okay, let's say you're in the middle of the working day and you have 15, 20 minutes to kill, and you want to spend your time productively to do some work, where do you go? I mean, one of your options, of course, is to go to a cafe and do some work, but maybe it's just not for you. It's too noisy, you can't concentrate. So I guess this telebooths is the solution for these kind of people. Whether I could do it, I'm not so sure, because I would feel a little bit claustrophobic.
Yeah, I think that's my main problem as well.
I've actually seen these, I mean, and this is Japan, right? So I've seen the capsule hotels, and they kind of freak me out. Right? Because they're just like a small hole in the wall. And I'm like, you know, and I'm not very big. So I look at it, I think, I can't even turn. What if I get up in the middle of the night and then I panic because I'm like, why am I in like a coffin kind of thing, you know?
Okay, right. So I can see where the fear is coming from.
So this booth thing also, I'm not sure I would. Maybe for 10, 15 minutes I could tolerate it.
Yeah.
But for long, I don't know. I don't think it's a solution to, let's say, working spaces.
Yeah, I did think it was quite interesting, the video conferencing aspect of it, right? Because this is one of the reasons why people are maybe against flexible working, because you're not physically in the office, you can't have that face-to-face conversation. But with these booths, you could, or at least, you know, the next best thing, which is you could still have that face-to-face conversation, you're just not physically present. So I was like, you know, ordinarily, perhaps for me, I would still prefer to take my laptop into a cafe to work, because I like that open space and I do like the sound of people around me. I don't necessarily need that level of privacy in order to work. But yeah, to take a video call, I think I would probably use these.
Yes, I'll support a nap pod instead.
I think we're all for nap pods at all times.
For your information.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay, we must test that someday, Sharit.
That's right.
Okay, well, let us know what you think about this. Would you find this kind of telecommuting space useful? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're coming out to the 6:30 news, and to take you there, here is This Too Shall Pass by OK Go, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Mind Mischief by Tame Impala, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Shaoning. So most Malaysian parents contribute to their children's university studies, but should they, I guess, is the question. And an article in the in FMT is asking just that. It's weighing the pros and cons. On the one hand, you know, there's parents paying for their kids' university fees in full would mean that their children would be able to focus on studying. They wouldn't have loans to repay, and it's viewed as commonly a form of investment, right? You're investing in your children's future. On the other hand, though, maybe if you don't pay for your children's university fees in full, it teaches them money management. It teaches them, there's also the fact that there are student loans quite readily available here in Malaysia, but maybe retirement loans aren't.
Not so.
So where do you fall on this scale, guys?
Well, for me, education is definitely necessary. It's definitely in the list of things that I know I need to support my children when they grow up. Whether or not I'll be paying for it, it really depends on the circumstances. Again, like you said...
So how are you supporting them if you're like not paying for it? You mean just emotionally go and study?
No. I mean, what I mean is circumstances could change over the period of years, right? Mm. Number one is how well your kids do. There could be an offer scholarship. That's number one. Number two, whether or not, hey, financially, things can happen, whether or not I could afford it. Of course, right now, we've already started planning, but...
So the intention is there.
The intention is there. So mm-hmm. It's definitely key. But for me, it's just that question is always that whether or not when you provide education for your children, when you've been offered a scholarship, and if you are well off, should you still continue your intention to pay for your education, or should you allow them to take up the scholarship, and whether it's a right moral thing to do?
That's an interesting philosophical question.
I don't know yet. Yeah, that's if I were to come through that dilemma.
So I underwent that dilemma because I got offered scholarships to go to university, and I didn't take any of them because we could afford it. Mm. But I did take the high achievers, and so I got the high achiever scholarship and a Dean's List scholarship. So those I took, and you're smiling at me, Sharitz.
Well, we know who's the smart one in the studio.
No, but it was just because...
The brainy one.
Because it was just... For me, I rationalized it like these are scholarships not targeted at the poor. These are scholarships to target deserving students who've worked very hard, who've achieved the grades. So those I took. But the rest of them, I was like, no, I don't really want to... I don't even really want to apply for them because it's just going to be clogging up the system, and it's what's the point?
I'd give you a scholarship just for thinking that way.
Well, I had a scholarship. It's called the Pharma Scholarship, Father Mother Scholarship, for which I'm eternally grateful to my parents.
Sure. Yes.
Okay, I think from the moment my sisters and I arrived, my parents always wanted us to have the best education possible because they didn't have the chance.
Yeah.
You know, they came from deprived backgrounds. Mm. So they really believe in the mantra of giving the child a fishing rod.
Mm.
And for them, an education is a means to something better in life.
Yeah.
I give you this education, it's what you do with it after that, right?
Mm.
Of course, now when I think about it, would it be better if you gave your kids, if let's say they weren't very interested in studying, maybe the money to start a business?
Yeah, yeah.
Or does education always have to be about going to university? I think these options now are more thought about than in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in the past it was very much black and white, right? If you had the money, you had to go to university, you had to get a degree.
And it wasn't even just going to university, you had to do certain degrees.
Yes.
You couldn't just do whatever you want. Like if I went home and told my parents when I was 17 I wanted to do, sociology, my father would be like, and then what are you going to do with it after that?
Okay, so it was measured. So that was a question I have. I mean, was it measured? For an example, if you had no interest to study Xiaoning, I mean... Hypothetically, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Would your parents still force you to study? Would they still pay for your education?
You know what? I never thought there were any other options, you know, in those days. I think, I'm from a different generation, right? I've always, in my mind, I think it was also brainwashed from young, that an education was a means to something bigger and better.
Right. Because where I'm coming from is that whether or not there's that tendency, when you pay for your children's education, could it push your children into being spoiled, for example? Because they don't appreciate the education that you provide them.
Sometimes, yes. I would say some of my peers resented having to go to university. They didn't enjoy it.
Mm.
They took their degree and then they never really did very much with it.
Yeah, so I came from a slightly different outlook on getting a university degree because I viewed a university degree as a safety net.
Mm.
Right. So at the end of the day, no matter whatever it was that I decided to do, at least I would have that degree so that, you know, if all else fails, I can get a job.
But it was also like for me, I know the sacrifices they make. So there was never any this thing that I would do nothing with it. You know what I mean? As in your parents save so hard, right? They plan so hard for you to have this experience. You make the most out of it.
Yeah.
You don't resent it.
So I think I'll hold on to that whole, the idea of giving your children a fishing rod rather than, you know, to give them the fish at the end of the day, right? So I think that is at least my focus for now. But it's just a matter of whether or not, at the end of the day, scholarships, my understanding is that they are there to sort of bridge gap sometimes. Mm. Sometimes that's the intention, isn't it? I mean, there are those who are deprived of education and it's there to help them.
I think also the time has changed so much compared to when I was at university. There's so many more options available. You could do courses locally nowadays.
They're last affordable.
Last time there wasn't these options available.
You can do courses online now
as well.
Yeah. For middle income, I think education in Malaysia is still at an affordable rate. I mean, if you start planning early, I think you still can afford to give them a local education.
Yes, but then there's also the question of where are we going to go in terms of private education, whether or not the rise of private universities will, you know, it will at the end of the day commodify the entire education sphere. There's a lot of things to talk about when it comes to higher education. And do you know what? Let us know what you think about it, because you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Do let us know what you think, because we'll be taking a look at what you say after this couple of messages. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. That was Bullet with Butterfly Wing by Smashing Pumpkins, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Shaning. Thank you very much for your messages this morning. We've had some tweets and WhatsApps about the subjects we've been discussing. We've been talking about the second-hand market for good. We've been talking about telecommuting offices.
Might need a dictionary in here.
There we go. And we've also talking about whether or not parents should fund their children's education. So we've had a WhatsApp from David, who says that I think ideally parents should not have to pay for their children's education. If we believe education is a fundamental human right, I believe the state has a role to play as well. He also says, I think the children themselves need to take on responsibility. Working part-time could be a good way to fund one's studies.
Yeah, I mean, it's very considerate of David, you know, to think of parents' retirement, because I think that's what I'll be thinking about when he says that parents shouldn't be responsible. But it does make someone, when you push them to that, to that space where they have to be responsible, I guess you sort of push them to be, you know, to grow up a bit earlier.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, everything is accelerated, right? If you're forced to suddenly have to fund your own education.
Yeah, but then, the distraction, I don't know.
Yeah, it would be tough for a kid to balance everything. That's the truth also. I mean, Halim also WhatsApped in. He said, my parents forced me to study and paid for it. When I was studying, I didn't appreciate it. But 10 years later with my degree, I got the job I like. So sometimes I thank my parents for pushing me.
Yeah, it's the foresight that parents have sometimes, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, at the moment
they're not always right.
They're not always right.
There are things that I think they've prioritize it correctly. I mean, education is definitely key.
I feel like after this, I'm going to save this podcast and hold it in trust for your kids, Sharit, and saying parents are not always right.
Yeah, there you go. I know. I apologize to my kids, so it's okay. So Samantha also, she sent us a WhatsApp. Now, she agrees with Xiao Ning and a bit grossed out with the idea of secondhand clothes, but I think maybe furniture is okay, like cupboards and tables. Good thing that he mentioned, not beds. Cars are definitely yes. Why buy a new item that will depreciate immensely the moment you use it? So we leave it to the rich people to help us do that.
Eric also says, I would buy secondhand clothes, so sneakers and jackets mostly, and furniture. While most of us say it's because it's more sustainable and environmentally friendly, let's be honest, it's because it's cheaper.
It is.
It's true. It is. There is definitely the price element to it, because as Shaning likes to say, everything's about money at the end of the day.
If you go through the app, like Carousel and stuff, clothes could go like 1 ringgit, 2 ringgit, 3
ringgit. But you know, there's some stuff where secondhand is more expensive, right?
Where?
Like watches, for example.
Yeah.
Especially
when
there's limited editions and you can't get it in the shop anywhere.
Yes.
These sellers aren't stupid. They will put a premium on it. And it goes for some like designer bags, clothes, which are limited editions. So not always secondhand is cheaper.
Now, as a result, the price of steel going up now, is it?
No. Steel has nothing to do with it. This is basic economics, demand and supply.
That's right. Well, some watches do age well. They do have that evergreen feel to it, isn't it?
Do you know what's the other thing that appreciates with age? It's certain toys. So Legos and collector's edition Legos,
correct.
Barbies, they appreciate a lot.
Especially if they're like still in the box, right?
Exactly, pristine conditions if they've never been played with. So that is
also... Don't play with your children's toys. Take it away and put it in a cupboard somewhere.
Oh, I threaten them all the time. If they don't clean it up, I'm going to throw it away. And I have.
Oh.
I had a feeling you're not going to like that, but yeah.
Well, thank you very much for all your messages this morning. We are coming up on the 7 o'clock news now, though, and after that, we'll be heading into the business end of the Morning Run. So be sure to stay tuned for lots more fascinating discussions after the 7 o'clock news. And to take you there, here is MGMT with Weekend Wars, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.